Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
The blood of sacrifice, part 2 this morning. Let's go straight into it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 8, our trilogy scripture. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water. Say like the Americans, the water. And the blood. And these three agree as one. So in April, as you remember, we were dealing with the Spirit, the anointing, the importance of being spiritually empowered for you to do well. And you know, I wish the anointing to each one of you. I wish the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will cry before God continuously for the infilling of the Spirit in your life. Yeah. I wish you the anointing. In your ministry, in your personal life, in your business, I wish you the anointing. It's the best gift you can ever receive. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Bible says he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the enemy. Please continue to pray for the anointing. Are you listening to me? The anointing is not only for ministry, though you cannot do ministry without the anointing. The anointing is for living. It's for living. I've taught on this before. You can find one of our teachings on the anointing. I mean, I've taught a lot about it. Then may we sow the word of God. The word of God. Now, it is important that you and I realize that the challenges of life are not overcome by your body. Are you listening to me? I don't believe that there's a person watching or listening to me today who doesn't have problems. Even babies have problems. Do you understand? Sometimes they start having problems right from the womb. The problems are already there. Now, your problems are not solved by your body, meaning your physical body that you are seeing. If it could solve them, it would have solved them because you've had that body ever since you've had the problems. The body's been there, but it hasn't solved any problem. I listen to what I'm saying to you. The body doesn't solve problems. Problems are solved by your spirit man. Not your body, your spirit man is where the solutions come from. When your spirit man is stuck, you are stuck. No matter how big the body is, no matter how well fed the body is, the problems remain. Because they're not solved by the body. So for you and I to become people that overcome challenges, we need to train the spirit man. We need to develop the spirit man. Are you listening to me? Because that's where the solutions are coming from the spirit. The body is just a tent, a suit you are wearing on, like I'm wearing a suit today. This is not me. It's something I'm wearing. If I take this off now, you will see how lifeless it is. It will just be lying there until a living person gets back in it and it starts moving. That's how your body is. Your body is dead without the spirit. Only when the spirit is alive in your body does your body have motion. And the problems that you are facing are not problems that the body can relate with. The body is not, he doesn't understand those things. They are of spiritual origin. Therefore, they need spiritual solutions. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you?
That's why we bring the word of God in the picture. Because the word of God develops our spirits. The word of God trains our spirits. The word of God empowers our spirits. The word of God makes our spirit intelligent and wise. And from there, we start drawing the solutions that we now use to solve these physical problems. To the degree to which you've developed your spirit, to that degree, you will solve your problems. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? If your spirit is undeveloped, I understand when you are born as a child, I'm talking about physical birth. You see, we do everything for you. We bath you, we feed you, we clean you up, we put new clothes on you. All you do, you cry, you eat, you sleep, you poo-poo, you wee-wee, you clean. That's all you do the whole time. But as you start eating, you start growing, and we start removing our help to give you a chance to start doing things by yourself. And you reach a stage where we are no more cleaning you up. I mean, you have to clean up yourself now. We are no more carrying you to the toilet. You have to go there by yourself. And we come up with a plan to ensure that you don't remain a liability to us by creating school. We send you there so that they can develop your mind, so that you can start finding solutions for life. You learn a skill. You learn a trade so that by yourself, you can go out there and start making a difference. That's the same thing in the spirit. When you are born again, you are literally helped at your first stage. You don't know how to pray. So people, the prayers of the saints in the church where you are sustaining you. You don't know how to go in the word. So the word of your pastor and the trainings and the program, depending on how developed your church is, those things help you to kickstart. But God has packaged everything for your development and your success on earth in a book he called the Bible. The same way we send you to school to capture trainings and trades and skills, he also has his own school. It is called the School of the Spirit. That school, you have to subscribe to that school for the development of your spirit being. To the degree in which you will develop your spirit being, to that degree, you will be able to face the storms of life as they start coming, because you will soon discover that even though you have metric cannot fight some of the storms of life because they are not of physical origin. So you need to have other trainings in the realm of the spirit that you are now engaging as well. That's what makes you a successful person. This is why the word of God is so important in our lives. It's not optional. I assure you, without God's word, your chances of making it are close to zero. Close to zero. The Bible in your house is not for decoration. The messages in your phone are not for decoration. The church building by the area there is not for decoration. Those are all tools that God has brought into your life to empower your spirit. To do what? To empower your spirit. It is spiritual empowerment, because it is only when your spirit is well developed that your spirit can face the challenges of life. Woe is the man, woe is the woman that is confronted with a challenge bigger than the spirit development. That becomes the end of the journey, at least for a season. Until that man or that woman get to school and train the spirit, and the spirit is developed enough to confront the challenge present. Until your spirit capacity is greater than the present challenge, you are going nowhere. Years can continue moving, months can continue rolling up and down, but your life will remain stuck there like that. Until your spirit man is rising on the inside with faith, with knowledge, with anointing, with all these things to confront the challenge that is present. Then you start moving again. You see the importance of the Word of God. I see you getting into the Word. And then this month we are looking at the blood. We are looking at the blood. These are all spiritual missiles. If you can allow me to use them, these are missiles that are designed, if you will care to apply them. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is a weapon of mass destruction against the yokes and against the challenges that Satan has against you. The Word of God is another weapon of mass destruction that is able to ward off all the barriers that Satan is placing before you. The blood of Jesus is the worst of them. The blood of Jesus is now the last card of God. If you have escaped the anointing, you have escaped the Word, you cannot escape the blood. It will hunt you down. So last week, I did a very good teaching last week about the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus that has so many faculties in it. And I'm hoping that you will get time, you will take time to listen to that message. And you will start applying the blood of Jesus when? Continually. The key is continually. Don't apply once a week. Apply it during the course of your day. As you are hit by evil thoughts, sexual thoughts, immoral thoughts, blood of Jesus in my mind, blood of Jesus in my thoughts. As Satan is attacking you with bad news, blood of Jesus, you just keep applying the blood throughout your day. You will see that your life will become very free. Satan will stop having this upper hand that he is having against you. I assure you. Apply the blood of Jesus. Anywhere you are not happy, maybe you are having a very tense relationship with somebody in the family, start sending the blood there constantly. Just pump the thing with the blood. Soak it in the blood. Bath it in the blood. You will see. After a while, the whole thing will change. Because all the evil spirits that are hiding inside, that are causing the commotion, will not resist the blood. Hallelujah. Now, the blood speaks of sacrifice. The Lord Jesus had to sacrifice himself for us to access the blood that was inside his body. I think I pounded on that last week quite a lot. Amen. Now, that means in essence that because we access the blood of Jesus through his sacrifice, it means by essence that Christianity and following Jesus will never be a work of convenience. Because the man who started Christianity did not start Christianity with convenience. Those that will follow through, those that will follow him, will not have a journey of convenience. It didn't start like that. It started with a brutal death. Now, I understand. You say, okay, but he did it for us. Yes, he did it for us. But I assure you, if you follow a man of that caliber, by all means, you will have to experience some of the things he has experienced. I know there's a gospel of convenience that is going on out there. And sadly, I must say, it has infiltrated itself so deep inside of us. It's difficult for people to be true Christians these days. Now, Paul the Apostle mentioned this to his disciple Timothy. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, he says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say
what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Their itching ear. And I want you to know that we are deep in this dispensation, the itching ear dispensation. We are deep in it. Where it is becoming difficult to even say what the Bible says. So it's like, for people to accept you, you have to water it down and water it down and water it down and keep smashing it and porridge it and milk it and water it until they can finally accept it. This has produced Christianity of compromise, deflated and devoid of all spiritual power. Are you with me? But let me tell you the truth this morning. The reality is, it is actually hard to be a Christian. Yes. Being a Christian, don't believe anybody that is saying, come to Jesus, all your problems will disappear. Come to Jesus, you have eternal, this and this, you have a good life, everything's good. Look, yes, there's good life in Jesus, but we are not telling you, anyone telling you that side of the truth is not telling the whole truth. And it is a matter of time, when the rubber hits the road, you start running away. I want to tell the truth today before God that being Christian is very, very hard. So if you've been having some hard times being a Christian, then it means you are actually trying to do it well. Isn't this Christian that they are just cruising? They are just cruising. You must check that Christianity. You must check that Christianity. I don't know if it is just a favor God is doing them, that God has abandoned us, he has turned to them to love them. But when I look at my Bible, Christianity is difficult. Yeah. Christianity is hard. This is good news for somebody. You need to realize, so this is so I'm normal. I'm actually normal. So I'm okay. You know, it's as if Jesus actually, if you listen to the things Jesus Christ said, you'll ask yourself if he even wanted anybody to follow him. Yes, and the type of statement the man made are so heavy that for you to even consider following him, you need to think twice. Here's one of them. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What type of invitation is that? You are inviting people to follow you. They don't know you. But you are saying they must forget about themselves. They must carry crosses. Do you know what the cross means? The cross means death. You think the cross means joy? I mean, back then, if they show you a cross, you yourself, you already know, you must just start saying goodbye to your family. Because once you see the cross, you know what it means. It's not like today where we are wearing cross for fashion. Back then, the cross meant suffering. The cross meant death. The time Jesus is talking about taking up your cross, that is what the cross means at that time. It means dying. And Jesus is telling his followers, whoever wants to come after me, number one, deny yourself. Do you know what it means to deny yourself? That you want something, but you should not get it. Then you must follow him.
Jesus never took the standard down for anybody. Jesus never tried to adjust his principle or his requirements for anybody. He made it clear that if you want to come, here is what I want. And those things were not easy to do. Now, every serious Christian today will experience, if you are a true Christian, you want to really follow Jesus. I'm talking about the blood of sacrifice. I'm on the blood of sacrifice here. Because you're asking yourself, Pastor, what is the theme? I'm talking about the blood of sacrifice. That our leader sacrificed his life and his blood came out. And I told you last week that starting this week, I'm going to talk about the blood of our sacrifice. We are also involved in a form of sacrifice because our leader says we must carry our crosses. Our leader says we must deny ourselves if we want to be his disciples. So there is a sacrifice that we must also shed a type of blood of our own sacrifice. Am I making sense to you now? And so any true follower of Jesus Christ will lose something, will suffer something, will sacrifice something, and will die in something. Should I repeat it? Oh, because we have to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Every true follower of Jesus, shall I say every true Christian, must lose something. Oh yes, you must lose something because of Jesus. You must sacrifice something because of Jesus. Oh yes. You must suffer something because of Jesus. And you must ultimately die in something because of Jesus. The blood of my sacrifice. Now, I'm very much aware that, don't quickly say, Pastor, now I understand all this suffering, all these problems. You know, it might not necessarily be that you are going through this because of Jesus Christ. You can be going through suffering because of your own disobedience. You can be going through suffering because of ignorance. You can be going through suffering because of unbroken curses. You can be going through suffering because of rebellion and disloyalty. That can produce the same result. But I'm talking today about going through this for the sake of the gospel. For his name's sake. Hallelujah. Jesus did not beat about the bush regarding this matter. In the book of John 15, 20 to 21, he said, "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." He said it. "If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." So if Jesus was persecuted, he says a servant is not greater than the master. So if they persecuted Jesus, we must expect persecution. I don't hear anybody. Everybody is now quiet. You are no more saying anything. I'm saying to you that Jesus told us if they persecuted him, they will persecute us. I know Christianity today, receive a blessing, receive an upgrade, receive a promotion, receive an increase, receive heaven, receive the whole. I understand. But Jesus is the founder of Christianity, the founder. Not the founder of your church, the founder of Christianity. He's saying that if they persecuted him, they will persecute his followers. In the book of John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. Jesus overcame the world, but he told us, when you see tribulations, don't lose your peace. Understand, it is supposed to happen. You must not start wondering, what did I do wrong? No, many times you have done anything wrong. You haven't done anything wrong. It is the way it is. David confirmed this in the book of Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions, not of the wicked, watch it, of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the good news is the Lord delivers him out of them all. Paul the apostle also confirmed it in the book of Acts 15, 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now, it gets worse. This is his letter to Timothy in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, 2 to 3. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage your faith. To do what? To strengthen and encourage your faith. Hallelujah. So that no one will be unsettled by these trials. So when you are going through trials, don't be unsettled. So Paul was writing to them so that they will be strengthened in their faith. That when they go through tribulations, they will not become unsettled. What's going on? He says, "For you know quite well that we are destined for them." Wow! I said, God, destiny. I am destined for some trials. It doesn't sound like good news, does it? My God. I don't know if people even watch this message on YouTube. I don't know. Let's just trust God. But you see, we need to understand that this is true Christianity, not what we have made it to be. That's why people live a life of compromise, because they don't seem to know that it is also part of the package. So when these things start happening, and we come to God expecting only heaven, but our founder said, take up your cross. That cross doesn't sound like ice cream to me. That cross doesn't sound like tea to me. That cross is not a simple thing. So what did he mean? Today's message. The blood of my sacrifice. Through losing. Oh yes. Oh yes. The blood of my sacrifice. Through what? Through losing. Yeah, I know I have trained you to be a winner. Yes. But you must also, you see, in life, you must learn to also what? Lose something. Even winning, you cannot win until you've lost something first. And I'll show it to you that those who win have lost a lot. You can't just win. You lose something to win something. That is how it is. The blood of my sacrifice through losing. Matthew 17, 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The blood of my sacrifice through what? Losing. He says that if I lose my life because of him, I will find it. But if I save my life, I will lose it. You choose which one you want. Paul speaking in the book of Philippians 3, 7, 8, he says, but what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Gaining Christ will always imply losing some rubbish. There will always be certain things you gotta lose to gain the excellency of Christ. This gospel that has come today, where I lose nothing, but I want to keep Christ. I don't know where we are getting that gospel from, where I can remain the way I am. I go to church, I do everything I used to do before I went to church, but I still have Christ, and I still have everything else. That is not the gospel, precious people of God. The real gospel will involve you losing something, for you to gain something. You need to understand, that's the principle. That's the principle. If I am not ready to lose some rubbish, I should not expect to gain Christ. I should not expect to gain Christ. I gotta let go of certain things. What does it mean to lose? Number one, to lose means you come to be without certain things. And there may be little or no prospect of recovering those things you are losing. I don't want to quickly say to you that you'll have some restoration and some recovery. I want you to know that there might not be a chance of you recovering the things you are losing. You're going to lose. Nobody is talking to me this morning, I tell you. It's like I'm just coming. I've just come with some stuff and I'm just dumping some stuff on us. I want to repeat this point again. To lose means you will come to be without certain things. The things that you had, you're going to reach a stage where you don't have them again. And there may be little or no prospect of recovering these things you are losing. Do you get what I'm trying to say to you? Yeah, Jesus didn't lower the standard, though. And you are saying, Pastor, you are talking like this, I'm going to leave. You know what? You are not leaving me. Did I save your soul? I didn't save anybody's soul here. If you are saying you are leaving, you are leaving Jesus Christ. You are leaving, not me. I am here to say to you, lose this thing so you can gain Christ. The reason there's no power in our lives is because we are having all these things. The rubbish is on this side, and you are trying to take Jesus to force him inside the bag of rubbish. You are trying to take the gospel to add it to the bag of rubbish. And that's why it doesn't work. You want to keep everything the way it is and just add Christ to it. That's why it's not working. Number two, to lose means you will be deprived of certain things. Is the English working for you, my brother? Number three, to lose means you will be unable to keep or to maintain certain things in your life. You'll not be able to keep them or to maintain them. Number four, to lose means you will have to give or let go of certain things in your life. That's what it means to lose. You will have to give or let go of certain things in your life. One of the ardent followers of Jesus Christ, Peter the Apostle, he wrote in Mark 10:28, then Peter spoke up, we have left everything. We have left everything to follow you. I don't understand this Christianity. People are leaving nothing. They are moving around with 10 bags of baggage and rubbish behind them, and they are adding Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the blood. They are just like, it's just more. Is that the blood is another muti on top of the other bag of mutis that I have, and the anointing is another muti on top of the other muti that I have. I'm carrying all my mutis and I'm also adding the blood to them. No. We have left how many things? Everything. I want you to look at your neighbor and ask, have you left everything? How many things have you left so far? Because it seems like the word is coming to ask for more. Like more must be left. More must be left behind. More must be left behind. I do not disagree that some of you have left, but I don't know if you've left everything. You've taken a few stuff inside your handbag. There are some in the handbag. There are some, you know, the mothers used to put some stuff under the armpit. You have added some others under the armpit. I mean, you've got, your policy is, you never know. I should have some plan Bs. What are some of the things that I want to challenge you to lose this morning for Christ? Number one, lose your sin for Christ. Lose your sin. You know, you would think this is obvious, right? I mean, Pastor, come on. Jesus died for my sin. I came to ask for forgiveness of my sins. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. So, you'll be shocked how many believers are following Christ with their sins. All their sins are there. My sins are still around me. I'm working a way out. They are moving with their sins. Christians are still going out for parties. Christians are still drinking heavily, smoking all kinds of things. They are deep in fornication right in the church. Right, I mean, coolly. There's no problem. I mean, coolly. They are progressing with the sins. Christians are lying. I mean, that one, even as I'm saying it, is that a problem? People are even asking themselves, I mean, is that a problem? I mean, who is no more doing it? Everybody's doing it. I mean, lying. Muruti, I think you are pushing it too much. Lying. I mean, what is lying? Lying is nothing. Lying is nothing. You see, that is what we have made it to be today. It's like, I can go on with this. Cheating. Stealing. Not so long ago, somebody even stole my phone in the church. It's a power of God that arrested them wherever they were. They brought it at 7 p.m. They stole it at 5. They stole it at 3. They brought it at 7 p.m. Stealing the church. In the branch where I am here, so many of my daughters have lost their phone. Their phones have been stolen in the church. People are not afraid. So, we have continued, we are following Christ, but with our sins. We don't want to lose anything. We don't want to let go of anything. We want to carry it and follow Christ. To where? I'm asking you, to where? Where are we going? Where are we going? Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How are you going to be able to run with weight? He says, let us lay aside every weight. Why? Because sin is a weight. It's a weight. You are carrying heavy 5 kg, 15 kg, at your back is 20 kg, and your legs are having 50 kg. How are you going to run, my brother? No wonder everything is just boring for you. No wonder everything is just tiring for you. When we say, let's go to church, you are not happy. The problem is you haven't lost your sin. You haven't lost your sin. The blood of my sacrifice through what? Losing. I'm grateful Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross for me. But he's also now asking me to make a sacrifice. I'm making a sacrifice. You know, do you believe that Jesus could have said, I'm not dying for anybody? He said himself that no one takes my life from me. I'm giving it of my own accord. So he was truly sacrificing because he was not forced. He was not forced. So nobody here is forcing you to let go of the sin. It must be a sacrifice. Like, Jesus, because of what you represent to me, because of what I want with you, I'm losing my sin. I refuse to continue finding excuses why the sin is here. I refuse to continue explaining why I'm like this. You know, we love Jesus, but we also love the sin. How are we going to make it? Number two. If you will really follow Jesus, you will lose your friends. You will lose your friends. I don't understand how you say you are a Christian, but the friends have remained. All the stock, the old stock is still in stock. Fully. 100%. I don't understand. I'm really struggling. Honestly, I'm struggling to understand. I'm struggling to understand how that old stock is still there. That old stock is still there. You've lost nothing. The sin is present. All the friends are still present. Everything is in place. No. I don't understand. What is the Christianity that you are busy with? I don't understand that Christianity. Because James 4:4 says, Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You make yourself an enemy of God by entertaining worldly friends. But today, you will find Barcelona's that their best friend is an unbeliever. He's even an atheist. That his best friend is an atheist. These are the people they are grooving with. Nothing has shifted. Everything is right in place. No. I don't understand this Christianity. I don't understand it. I know you are saying, no, but we must reach out. You are not reaching out. You always had these people before you came to church. You are not reaching out to anybody here. There's not a reaching out. You are keeping the old stock. True Christianity is that I must see a new stock. Hallelujah. I must look at your life and say, there's a new stock here. This is no more the old stuff. God has given me a new stock of friends. And the reason why God is unable to give you new friends is because you are still holding on to the old stock. That's why you are at church alone. You always say, no, I don't feel welcome. I'm not connecting. Yes, that's why you are disconnected because of the old stock. I don't know, there's no love. I've been coming, nobody. You are not telling us the truth that you have kept the old stock in place. Now, I want to tell you something. God has wonderful friends for you. Amen. powerful friends for you. Friends that will add value to your life. But they will not come until you and I let go of the old friends. Let go of the old friends. Yeah. Do you love Jesus enough to let go of this friend, this friend, this friend, this friend, this friend, for the sake of Jesus? You come to church and then you go and sit with your friends. They water down and they wash out everything I've been teaching here in the church. They finish it. Back next time, they start from scratch. That's why you're not growing. That's why you're not growing. The Lord Jesus is challenging somebody this morning. He's saying to you, if you love me, let go of this. You gotta lose something. I said, you're not losing anything. Number three, you must lose your boyfriend. Amen. And your girlfriend. This one is not the second one. The second one, I'm just talking about your general chomis, your... This one is a deeper one. It's a deeper one, this one. You want to have Jesus. What a friend I have in Jesus. And then on the side, you have a girlfriend on the side. You have a boyfriend on the side. So you are mixing Jesus and your boyfriend. Jesus and your girlfriend. There is friendship. No. No. I don't think so. Can I tell you something? There's a guy in the Bible who lost heaven because of wife and girlfriend. In the book of Luke 14, verse 20, the Bible says, still another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. Do you know how this relationship can be the reason why somebody will not follow Jesus to heaven? Somebody will not make it to heaven because I have a friend, I have a girlfriend, I just started this relationship, I can't let go. You will miss heaven. You will miss a banquet, a great feast. You are missing a great feast because you have a girlfriend, because you have a wife, because you have a this. The same book of Luke 14, 26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus said, look, you can't, and he's not backing down. No, you know what, guys? I feel like reading this verse again. I feel like reading this verse just one more time. If anyone comes to me, meaning Jesus Christ, and does not hate father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now, he says that you will never make it. He said, you cannot be his disciple. I'm saying some of the things he just says, it's like he didn't want anybody to follow him. Like, by the time he's done talking, you ask yourself, who on earth can follow this man? But can I shock you? Millions are following him every single day, every single year. I am one of them. There are many that are following him. We are not intimidated by the words because we are won by the love. His love has won our hearts. We are even saying, Jesus, you are still gracious. Even this list, you could have made it worse. You know why you are struggling with this list? Because your heart hasn't been won by Jesus properly. When you are truly in love, there's no price. There's no price. Number four, you must lose the places you used to go to. You must lose them. I mean, how come you haven't lost that place. I don't want to mention a name here today. I don't want to get involved. I say that place. You know that? Tell your neighbor, that place, that one, that one, that one. Why haven't you lost that place? Why is it that these two legs are still going there? Why? What's going on? Number five, you must lose your old music. You see, these things I'm mentioning, it's like I'm joking, but they are the reasons why people cannot be Christians. They are the reasons why people are stuck. They haven't lost the places. They haven't lost the friends. They haven't lost the boyfriend, the girlfriend. They haven't lost the scene. They haven't lost the places. They haven't lost the music play, the playlist. The playlist is still there, proper. I make love to you, everything. What? You are coming from Holy Ghost revival. Then you put, I make love to you. The whole night. How can you listen? You are telling me that you are listening to this music. And then you are a powerful Christian. Boys to Men. R. Kelly. This and that. Asha. Why? Number six, you must lose your movies. Yeah. This is why you're not praying. The average movie is 1 hour, 30 minutes. It is 2 hours. Your movies have hijacked your prayer life. You love Jesus Christ, but you also love your movies. For you to go further with Jesus, you're going to have to make that decision one day to lose the movies. You see how quiet everybody has now. You see us now. The movies are moving us in the wrong direction. Slowly. And some of us are addicted to Nigerian movies. The shortest one is 3 hours. Shortest. And that's part one. when I'm saying shorter, it's 3 hours, part one. Some are part one, part two, part three. So by the time you are there, 9 solid hours have been wasted in the drain of nothingness. Some of you have Netflix accounts and this other one, Showmax accounts. Believers, so they can't pay tithe, but they are faithfully paying the Netflix account faithfully. They are even increasing their subscription, this thing. They watch series, episode, series 2, episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, episode 4, episode 10 episodes, then series 2, season 2, episode 1. My God. That's why they come to church, they are looking like they are under the influence of drugs. Anything you say, they are not hearing nothing. And our only excuse is that I'm not masturbating, I'm not fornicating, I'm just watching movies. You must also lose the movies. Remember what Peter said. We have left how many things? Everything. Social media. Instagram. Especially Instagram, TikTok. You see these two things? Instagram. Many of you cannot have sexual purity, not because you are watching porn, but Instagram, where you are watching real people, the type of pictures, And the effect, Instagram has some effects. I don't know where they are getting those effects from. But when a picture is in Instagram, it's like something has happened. Something has happened to the picture. Now imagine if the picture is a picture of A semi-naked person, already nudity in itself is a problem. Now you have added effect, and you have added effect. Now it is enhanced. So a lot of us are just stuck there. You are not doing anything wrong like this other thing, but you see, that Instagram account is a gate of entry that Satan is using to water down your Christianity. You are losing those things in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. We cannot become true Christians, devoted Christians, God-fearing Christians, if this rubbish are present. I'm not calling them rubbish. Paul says, I count this thing rubbish. I'm just using the words of Paul. Number 7, you must lose your hate, your hurt, your bitterness, and your unforgiveness. Yeah, many Christians are coming to a loving God where they themselves are unloving. They are coming to a forgiving Christ, but they themselves are what? Unforgiving. They are coming to a sweet Holy Spirit, but they themselves are bitter pills to swallow. They have made a covenant to never forgive, to never forget. But they are Christians. And they are moving along. They don't want to lose nothing. I've got Matthew 16:14 for us. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I think it's fair. It's fair that, it's kind of fair. These people don't know this verse. They don't believe in this verse. They say God is a faithful God. God is a forgiving God. God understands. I want to add verse 15 to this recipe. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Now, Christianity is a faith of forgiveness and love. But you will find believers that are staunch haters. They hate this one. They don't talk to that one. They are giving cold shoulders to that one. They have a gang up against that one. In the church, right in the church. It's happening in the church. In the church. But they are all worshiping this loving God, this forgiving God. They don't want to lose this hurt. They are cherishing this hurt and this pain. They love feeling sorry for themselves, for all that has happened to them. We are losing that in the name of Jesus. Number 8, lose your money for Jesus. You cannot come to Jesus and you say, no, me, I don't have money. I don't have. God knows my heart. I don't have. And the same you. Oh, look, as soon as you walk outside the doors of the church, you are buying all kinds of. The money appears. Manna from heaven has just appeared. You don't, like, when it comes to your Christianity, my Christianity doesn't involve money. This is between me and God. It's between me and God. They don't pay tithe. Their offerings are 5 rand, 2 rand, 1 rand. Those are the type of things that they're busy with. We'll be talking here until our heads become blue about buy a vision t-shirt. If you give them for free, they take. There's no problem. Buy. No. They will use transport, but they don't contribute transport. They will not lose anything. You cannot serve God and not use money. Money is high. What can you do in this world without involving money? Small boyfriend that you are busy, you are already spending money. But you want to engage the greatest God and there's no money. Nothing. Nothing. You don't want to lose anything. He lost his life for us. But you don't want to lose nothing for his sake. Nothing. You cannot do anything. This is not Christianity, guys. No. Number 9, lose your job. Lose your business. Lose your career for Christ. Can I tell you something? Especially number 9, a lot of believers have lost Christ because of their job, their business, and their career. They came to that crossroad where they needed to choose between Christ and their career, between Christ and their job. Unfortunately, they chose their job. Yes, happens all the time. Or it might be happening to you right now. Where you can see that I'm really losing Christ here for this. But you will not have the courage to say, you know, either demote me or I'm out of here. We have been consumed by what the world is consumed by. We want to impress the way they impress. We want to mean something here. Even if it means losing your faith. Losing Christ. Look at what people do for career. Some people, in the name of career, they haven't been at church for the past 2 years. In the name of career. Yeah. In the name of career, they have found themselves in shrines because their colleagues are going there. The whole company, you know, our CEO has called so and so to come in and watch us. In the name of career, they are busy with those things as I'm talking now. You might even be watching me right now, and that, you know that last week you were in a meeting where you were introduced to a guru. Somebody came to the company to sanctify all of you, to wash you guys. And you couldn't say no, because in the name of career, in the name of career, people are sexually harassed. In the name of career, people have lost their purity. People have lost their faith. Where are the Moses of this age? The Bible says Moses did not want to be associated with anything that had to do with Egypt. He rather chose to enjoy reproach with the people of God than the pleasures of sin for a season. Where are the Moses of today? We are rather fighting to be great there. The last one, which is the most difficult one, lose your family. Lose your family. I wish I wasn't the one saying this, but if you're going to go with Christ, you will quickly notice that at a certain stage, you will no more be flowing with your family as you used to. It will change. It will change. And you'll find yourself isolated. And it will look as if the worst has happened. No. That's how it is. Everything will come back, but in a readjusted way. In a readjusted way. God is trying to first fix you. The relationship you had with your family was based on their terms. Now you have allowed Jesus to come into your life. Jesus has a whole plan for your life. And I can assure you, your family doesn't believe that you should even consider such things. So they will never support that plan. So if you stay with them, they will kill the plan. As you are there feeling angry at God, God is separating me from my family. Because you don't understand. The thing God wants to do with you, if he start talking to you about it in the presence of your family, they will be the first to say, You are forgetting that you are not good at maths. You are forgetting that you are not good with this and this. You are, look at you. You are talking here. You are forgetting that we are the one helping you. So he told Abraham, leave your father's house. He had to remove Joseph in. They wanted to kill him. He had to remove him from them, fix him, then bring them back. And then they respected him properly. Your family. So I want to bring back my Luke 14, 26 to 27. If anyone comes to me, does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What is the essence of today's message? Being a disciple of Jesus comes at a cost. It does. It does. Any of us watching or listening that at one point or another you've seen yourself having to pay and you were wondering, is it normal? I'm here to just comfort you. Like Paul told Timothy, that to strengthen your faith, understand it's normal. It is the way it is. You will lose all those things, but not to lose forever. That's the good news. You will get it back 100-fold, but in a better form. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. As I end this morning, just to remind you that there are two ways of losing. You can lose willingly, or you can lose by force. But either way, you will lose. The word has come this morning to encourage you to lose willingly. There's more power when you do it like that. I mean, it is a sacrifice. I could have kept it, but I love God, so I release it. If you don't lose it like that, out of love that God has for you. Do you understand? He's going to come for it. He's going to come for it. My last scripture for the day, John 10, 17 to 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. You are not losing it forever. You're going to get it back. But the Father wants to see you lay it down for him. He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, authority to take it back up again. This commandment I received from my Father. I pray that you and I will become clever like Jesus. You know, Jesus knew it's coming. The level of hatred that the Jews have against me right now, I know I'm not going to become 40 here. It's not going to happen. I'm going to, at a certain stage, clear. They are trying to claim. In fact, they tried to claim him many times. So he knew it's coming. But he decided, let it not be that you are doing it to me. It's going to be I doing it. Myself. I'm giving myself. There's more power when you do it like that than when the Jews now have to crucify you by force so that you can finally die for us. Like, imagine, Jesus, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die, guys. I don't want to die. Please pray for me. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Guys, please, are you, Peter, hey, I say you guys won't pray. What's going on? God, please pray for me. I don't want to die. I don't want to die, guys. You know, you remember the miracles. I can't die. I can't die, guys. No. He said, no one is taking this life away from me. It will play out as if they are taking it from me, but nobody can take it from me. I'm laying it down of my own accord. I want to challenge you this morning. Lay it down. lay down the friends. Lay down the playlist. Lay down the girlfriend. Oh, lay down the job. Lay down the places. You know the places. Come on. Lay down your life. Why is it that your Christianity is costing you nothing? Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. Jesus paid it all. Yes, I know Jesus paid it all. But he said we must take up the cross. Amen. Lesson on our feet this morning. I want us to pray. And I want us to pray for the Spirit of Jesus that didn't have to be forced. Like now, there are commotion before you can let go of the boyfriend. My God. It has taken 6 years before you finally discover that this is a bad friend. You've lost 6 solid years. The blood of my sacrifice through losing is all about how committed am I to the cause of Christ? How devoted am I to Jesus? What am I ready to lose for him? Don't focus much on what you are losing. Focus on what you are gaining by losing this. And I want you to ask yourself a question. Is it worth it or not? Because that's the whole point. If I can feel it is worth it to lose this for this, then it shouldn't be a big deal for me. That's why it's all about your devotion to Jesus. Because if Jesus is not really at a certain level in your heart, you will feel that your friends are a better deal than Jesus. You will feel that your career is still a better deal than Jesus. There will always be arguments in your spirit. You will not let go easily. You will not let go. In fact, you will not even let go at all. My 3 last words to you. Remember Lot's wife. Who wouldn't let go? And she remained behind. I pray that you will not become Lot's wife, or any one of those for that matter. Let's pray for the Spirit of Jesus. Father, give me the spirit of my Savior that was willing to let go of whatever needed to be let go of, so that him and you can be one. Can we pray this morning for the grace to lose, not to lose, but to lose to gain something greater and better? Open your mouth and begin to pray this morning. Father, I thank you this morning for your word that has come. Thank you for the power that is charging this word today. Thank you, Father, that we are receiving grace and your word has come also with the capacity to obey, to do the right thing. Lord, I know there are so many arguments in our hearts regarding some of these things that you are challenging us to lose. We have become so attached to some of these things. It's as if our lives revolve around them. And it's so difficult to imagine our lives without these things, Lord. But I pray this morning that you will give us a revelation. Give us a revelation of who Jesus is in comparison to what these things are. Oh, that revelation that you gave to Paul that caused him to say, all these things that were like a gain to me, I look back at them today and I say they are rubbish. As to compare to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, they don't mean anything. But I gave up this type of love, this type of devotion towards you, that nothing will be more important in our lives, that we'll not have arguments when it comes to letting go of something, as long as it's standing on the way of our relationship with you. Thank you for helping us this morning, Lord. Thank you for helping us this morning, Lord. We let go this morning, Father. We surrender, Lord. We surrender the sin. We surrender the lifestyle. We surrender the boyfriend, the girlfriend. We bring them at your altar, Father. We ask for forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. We surrender, Jesus. Shandere mekara mandora mashandara mandere 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 ba. Raba garaba zipre kandora mashandara mandere mandere be. Reza kato kapra zipre kandora mashandara mandere 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 bo. Raga zaba debe garaba zapra kata kapakata. E preza kato kapara kate kapakata kapakate. E prezi pre kandora mashandara masebre kandora mashandara mandere mandara be. Kabra kaze be debe. Kabra kaze be debe. Kazantora manderebe, kashamantere manderebe, kazokola mandere manderebe, kabra kazi kantora mazetere mandora mandere manderebe, zakotola mandarabade, zepre kantora mashamandarabado, kashabayeba, kashabayeba, kazantoreba, mashandarabe, mazekelamo, mashamandare, mazibregare, makoromande, macharamando, majekanteme, kazoro praye, Mazibregade, Mancheremando, Mashabandere, Mazarabade, Maseremando, Makaramande. Oh Lord, we are willing. Oh Lord, we let go this morning. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Receive grace from above. Receive grace from God. Grace from the Holy Spirit. Oh, in the world, losing is bad. In the world, losing is very bad. Nobody wants to lose out there. That we learn in the church, that sometimes losing is the right thing to do because it is what you need to do to gain what God has in store for you. Thank you, Father, for empowering us today. We give you praise. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Now, this morning, before I close the service, I want to pray for somebody. You are watching this morning and you've never lost your life for Jesus. You are still in charge of your own life. What I'm trying to say is that you haven't allowed Jesus to become your Lord and your Savior. You are still the one in charge of your own existence. But God has a plan for you today. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want to let go and let God, I would like to pray with you. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. And I'll pray with you right now. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. You can take your hands down. Now, you are already born again. But this morning, you want to get back to true Christianity. Not this diluted, downgraded, watered down Christianity. But you don't even know what you are busy with. It doesn't make any sense. You are trying to justify it, but you know in your heart of hearts, doesn't make sense. It should go. Why don't you just lay it down at the feet of Jesus this morning and say, I surrender all. And to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. You want you to commit your heart to Christ. At the count of three, please raise your hand and I can pray with you. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved, I'm restored, I'm born again, I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.